Welcome to the Equal Giving Circle podcast, The Sharing Culture, the show that talks about sharing, who does it, why, and the history, and a whole lot in between. Each episode is a stewarded conversation by one of our team members and another community organizer or community member. We hope that you enjoy these conversations about sharing and are inspired to lean in and explore your own relationship with sharing and are called to stretch and build deeper alongside of us. We look forward to sharing with you. Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is The Sharing Culture. I am AJ McCrary, the co-founder and executive director of Equal Giving Circle. And today we are talking to my dad, Vincent McCrary, who is an avid gardener and fly fisherman. Just got a whole lesson about fly fishing that I will not be taking. He has been in Portland for how many years, Dad?
I don't know.
100?
Almost since 1987.
So he's been around Portland for a really long time, was an insurance agent, is now retired. And we are going to be chatting, like I said, about gardening and sharing. Yeah. Is there anything about your intro that I missed out that you want? He's got three grandkids.
I got three kids, three grandkids, and a wife of 50 years, so.
50 years. Talk about commitment. That's a long time. All right. So welcome, welcome, Dad. Appreciate you being here and let me interview you. Last year, we, Equal Giving Circle, had the opportunity to support my dad with his 23-year-old garden.
Garden, yep.
He's been gardening for a very long time, even before that. So we're going to start with our season's questions. Just to get this conversation started, when I say the word sharing, what are the first thoughts that come to mind other than me?
Other than you, giving things away.
Giving things away. It's a very technical understanding of sharing.
Yeah, but if you're sharing something, you're giving something away. I mean, okay. It's like you have it, give it to someone else.
All right. What's your favorite memory about sharing?
Well, when it comes to gardening and sharing, I guess, you know, One year, you know, for some reason, I needed to dig up the hosta plants, and I did that. And I ended up having, from our hostas that were in the ground, I took them out of the ground and divided them up on the little nodules. And then in my backyard, I had 167 different plants growing at the same time.
And then you distributed those?
And I gave those away to friends, family, and anybody that, you know, had an interest in, you know, coming by the garden, looking at it and admiring the plant. I try to give them a hosta to get rid of them.
Okay. So that's one of your favorite memories about sharing?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And you got to talk to lots of people in the process?
You know, we talk to people every day. And I love sitting out on the bench out there in the garden and just sharing with people the beauty of the garden. So
I like it. What do you think needs to happen to change our collective relationship with sharing, like as a society, as people, across the color line, all that kind of stuff?
People trying to not be greedy. I mean, you know, the bottom line is a lot of people, you know, want to hold on to stuff. It's like, if you got more than you need, give it away.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we just need to like lean into sharing.
Everybody should share.
Everybody, you know, should share. That's a tagline.
Yeah, I know, but you know, everybody should share. But the bottom line is, the people who have the most like to hold on to stuff, and it's like, you know, you're not going to be here forever, and give it away.
Facts. All right. Appreciate that. All right. So we're going to jump into talking about your garden. Your garden in North Portland, in Arbor Lodge, has been there for 23 years. And you gardened before that. You used to garden in your...
I used to garden a lot. And I mean, you know, I like different things. You know, my biggest part is, you know, right now I've been on this coleus thing. So in our garden, we have coleus and we have marigolds because I like the marigolds. I love marigolds. I think they're a great plant, you know. there's just different ones. I mean, you gave me a, we went somewhere and we bought a zebra fern. Mm-hmm. And that's a, and that's one of the five ferns that are different in the garden. So we got five different ferns, but that little zebra fern is coming back. I mean, it's not double in size, but it didn't die, you know?
Yay! So, I think we need to go get it a friend.
Well, we do. We should get a friend. But the nice part about it is, you know, there's five different ferns. There's, you know, rose of marigold, and then hostas and primroses. And, you know, each one of those little areas in the garden, you know, if people stop by, they would see there's little things everywhere. So.
Yeah, we'll have to share some photos of the garden because, like you said, there's all these different kinds of plants, but it's also there's the sections. Your garden, this current garden that you have, is on a corner lot, and so there's a lot of space, and it's layered. Like there's
a terrace.
Terraced.
Yeah, I mean that was one of those kind of things that happened. You know, your brother and I, you know. For some reason, I got to be a little crazy. You know, we had a hill there, and we could only plant a little bit. So I decided that, you know, instead of having just one hill on both sides of the house, we would go out and get some stone, and we'll terrace it. So we terraced it. So now we got like 19 flower beds. Which is crazy. So,
it's beautiful.
I know, but that was a project that we started and ended in 1 year. And the nice part about it is, every one of those flower beds has a little something different in it. So mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Speaking of your primroses, you got me into a lot of spice with some garden ladies at different garden centers last spring because I didn't know, or not like. I guess it was early summer when I was looking for more primroses that you were like, we should get some more primroses. Primroses, typically, per everybody other than this gentleman here, have a very short lifespan and they grow just in the early spring, I think.
Yeah, but...
But your primroses, I this was something I learned last year. So your primroses grow all the way until the end of the season.
Yep.
And they last. And so I was looking for primroses at multiple places and people were like, no, it's too late in the season. They don't exist. And I'm like, no, I promise you, like, I don't know what you're talking about. These are all season long flower. This is like a 7-8 month long flower. Got into multiple arguments with showing people pictures. Okay. They're like, this is insane. Your primroses, like the last picture I have of a primrose, of multiple primroses in your garden went all the way into, I think, late October, maybe even early November, before it's like frost and frozen. So you're definitely over here on some like warlock vibe with these primroses that are not supposed to last 8 months, but yours do.
See, Atlanta, you know.
Now he's going to call me my government name, y'all. the name he named me.
Yeah, AJ did. The real part about that is this, okay? A lot of people don't realize is when you have plants like primroses and coleus, it's all about the fertilizers, okay? And, you know, I mix the fertilizers up a little bit. So, you know, a lot of times what happens is why those primroses do that is because I use like a fish fertilizer for a little bit and then I change it over to something else. And then we'll go back to the old famous one, Miracle-Gro. So those plants are getting fed different things, and it keeps the roots, you know, always wanting to promote flowers. So that's why you see them all the time.
Well, it's definitely, I've stirred lots of drama in the plant community last year talking about these primroses.
I mean, and
it's amazing.
It really is. Well, just like, you know, I mean, I see a lot of different people have different plants that, you know, seem like they're out of season, but because of what they're doing, you know, they exist. I mean, you know.
So really cultivating and caring for said plants.
Yep, you got to care for them. You know, I don't sing to my plants every day, but, you know.
You talk to them.
I talk to them.
You talk to them. Yeah, so you have a ton of different stuff. The hostas,
You've got hostas all over the yard.
Hostas all over
the yard.
Yeah, there's probably, you know, I want to say 25 different types of hostas, different variations on them. You know, the ones that I haven't been able to grow yet, and I bought a couple of them, but they never came up, were the colorful ones. You know, the blues or the, you know, red with white edges. I'll try that again this year. But those are kind of gorgeous. You see them on the Facebook or whatever. But, you know, the nice thing about hostas is they're a hardy plant. Once they establish themselves, they come back year after year, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. So, you know, that's a nice plant. For anybody that has, you know, a little bit of shade, hey, that's a great plant for them.
We got to go out to that garden that has all the hosta varieties.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
We'll find some hardier of the more fancy, colorful kinds.
Yeah, you know, like I say, I mean, I've seen them on Facebook or whatever, and, you know, hostas, they can make them come all colors. So, you know, I would, you know, it's like tulips. I mean, you know, we only have a few tulips come up every year, but, you know, they come up in their different colors. So there's a little bit of color, but it'd be nice to be able to have a hosta that's, you know, a bright red or a nice dark color, you know, give it some variegance. So, because most of the hostas are green and white and, you know, variegated leaves or whatever. So it'd be kind of cool to have different colors. So we'll see what happens.
We got to go up and take a trip out to that. I can't remember what it's called, but there's two gardens. There's the one that like does have a bunch of hostas, and then there's the, it's like, south of here.
South of here, yeah.
All right. What got you into gardening?
What got me in the garden? I don't know. You know, it was just one of those things that my job was kind of stressful, or maybe most salesmen's jobs are, you know, but when I got off of work, you know, I just felt myself going out to the garden and just putzing around, and it was peaceful. You know, it was outdoors. You know, you get out there, and I just felt at home. And it's like, you know, I got a little dirt on my hands. So for me, it started out just being like something to do, and then I got to be relaxing. Mm-hmm. You know, to the point that I felt better to be outside. And you know, a lot of times, you know, like on a Saturday or Sunday, I'd be out there 8 hours and loving the heck out of it. You know, so, you know, when you're out there and you're enjoying something, it's like going fishing. I mean, you know, I was out there and I couldn't go fishing. So guess what? I'm out here in the garden and got my hands dirty. And, you know, hey, I could spend 12 hours out there and just love it. I mean, it's just, you know, for anybody that really enjoys getting their hands in the dirt, garden is a nice way of just connecting with nature and relaxing.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that you say that, because one of the things that we really got to explore and talk about last year as a group and just as individuals was how important it is to also care for the land that's here in the city, like in these like movements around sort of this relationship with our land or ecology. It's always about going out to a farm, going out to the forest, going out to the coast. Here in Oregon, we call it the coast. We do not call it the beach. That's weird. It just is. so we always like in these movements of getting people, whether it's Black people or just oppressed people, individuals with less resources, like in, you know, to connect with the land. It's always about, we've got to go out into like, you know, the forest or out away from the city. And I appreciated that last year as we were piloting this program and having these conversations. And again, the Elder Garden Project, it started with my dad. He needs some help in the garden. We showed up. We had like 42 people that came out that first day to help. And it was just totally like an instant yard.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Getting all the weeds out and then just doing all the things. But part of that was because he, as an elder, needs support. And this is, his garden is, you know, 23 years. This garden is 23 years this year.
Yep, it is.
So it's a piece of living history. And so what was really cool last year about, as we cultivated this project, and we also last year got to work with Miss Anita. She's got a 29-year-old garden in Southwest Portland, was that we're connecting to the land here. And so in these movements about sort of connecting with the land, there is this always going away, but there's land here that we interact with every day. And I grew up around like a garden and cultivating and participating and supporting this space here in the city. And so to get the community to kind of think about connecting with the land in this different way was really special and really interesting because, again, while it's great to be able to go away out into the forest or to the ocean or wherever to a farm, there's also land here in town that we can be good caretakers of, that we can have a relationship with, and that we can be in nature. So it was really cool through this project last year to have those conversations and see that. What are some of your favorite parts about like the relationship with gardening? Because I know that you talk to your neighbors because of it. You mentioned your bench. Tell us about the bench.
Oh, well, you know, my garden is on a corner lot, you know, and the nice part about it is you walk down the one side of the street and it's got marigolds on both sides. And then you turn the corner and you got marigolds on the right side all the way down to the end of the lot. But there's a bench in the middle of it that overlooks the Coleus Gardens, you know, and then you get a chance to see everything from the marigolds to the hostas to you know, we did the daffodils 1 year, and we still and they're coming up again as well. But the nice part about it is there's a bench out there that I sit on, or anybody that comes by with their dogs want to take a little rest, you can sit on the bench and just breathe in and visually just take in the whole different sights of what's going on in nature, which is a great little thing. I mean, you know, I sit out there, people stop by, sit out there, you know, anytime someone's walking their dog, you know, they may take a rest there. It's just a good little thing for everybody to take in visually. And I totally enjoy people stopping by. You know, if I'm on the bench, people stop by and talk, take in the different sights of it. And, you know, it's just a relaxing little place.
I love that bench is a way for you to share your garden with the community in this intentional way. When you put it out, the rest of the family was not really impressed or excited. We all, and I definitely was probably the loudest, like, uh-huh. This is weird. You want all these people to like sit and hang out? I was not super open to it.
Well, I know. And a lot of people weren't, you know, like, you know, you get different, you know, who knows will be out there and just kind of like, you know what? It's a place for relaxation, you know, someone take a little break. You know, walking your dog, just walking, period, want to take a rest. But at the same time, visually, they get wrapped up in the garden as well because they get to see it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. It's grown on me. It has definitely grown on me. And I do. You do love that people utilize it.
Yeah, stop by.
He legit will peek out the window and be excited that somebody is having a rest on the bench and enjoying the garden and taking it all in.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I think it's also like, as I am able to reflect on it, and because the bench has been there for quite some time.
Well, quite a while. But I mean, that's another way of sharing.
Yeah, and it's I think it is a really beautiful way to bring people into the garden space and to enjoy this because it is your garden and it brings you a lot of joy and peace, it brings the neighborhood a lot of joy.
Yep. A lot of people in the neighborhood do like it as well.
When we were doing a bunch of prep last year for the project and rallying different supplies, I had talked to somebody over at the Portland Nursery, and she was like, marigolds, what yard is this? And I was like, yeah, it's an Arbor Lodge, and it's marigolds on both sides. And she said, oh, I've heard about this yard. I did all the marigolds. I said, yeah, there's just like a marigold walk. And she was so excited about that because she'd heard about it. So your garden has notoriety beyond North Portland. And beyond, just like people do know about it. It's funny when I tell people, oh, yeah, I know that garden. That's my dad's garden. And I'm like, really? Really? That's your dad? Yep, that's my dad's garden.
Well, you know, I used to, you know, plant marigolds in my greenhouse and then, you know, bring them out. And then we planted all those on both sides of it. You, I know, I remember you getting on your knees with me and we're all planting these. And what's so funny about that is, you know, for the first 20 years, you know, we've always planted our own marigolds and gotten to come up. But, you know, that's been a sense of all of us working together to do that, mm-hmm. which is fun. You know, yeah. I've enjoyed the heck out of it. I remember, you know, a lot of times in the backyard, there's all kind of pots of marigolds growing, you know, and we did that as a family. And, you know, it was enjoyable. And it's always been enjoyable. You know, and I tell everybody, you know, yeah, the reason why they know that is because I made these little signs out of cedar and painted them, and it says Marigold Walk, and people always like to look at that and say, yeah, this is a marigold walk. And when my neighbor, before she passed away on the other side, I used to give her some. So when you continue down the street, you would see, you leave our spot, and you see, go to her area to the end of the block, and there'd be marigolds there too. So, yeah, it's a fun situation. It really is.
Yeah, your marigolds. We bought some marigolds last year.
We did.
And I have to say, your marigolds that you plant from seed are a million times better, stronger. It was interesting to see some of the marigolds that we bought at nurseries. On the one side, like, it was very obvious to me as the season went on which ones were your marigolds that you planted from seeds and from the seeds that you've been cultivating for years. Versus the plant that we got from somebody else. Yours definitely lasted all the way to even like early November, whereas some of the nursery ones, definitely not as strong.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show you, you know, the simple fact that, you know, when you have successful marigolds and you keep them going and you collect the seeds and then you plant them, they're usually, you know, last year's seeds that did well, you know, and as opposed to, you know, going to a farm where they just, you know, they're trying to take the strongest seeds to make it, but they don't really have the lasting power of regular seeds. No. So that's the difference.
I harvested some, I had gotten some marigolds as a, like, as live plants, as a gift. And so I harvested those. So I want to, when we start planting marigolds, I want to see if any of them come up. I don't know if I harvested them right.
Well, it doesn't really matter. You know, we'll see. You know, but the thing about marigolds is a lot of the plants that a lot of the plants that are from a nursery, some of those seeds will never produce because, you know, they do something like the GMO where they kind of make it so that, you know, you don't have that availability to do that. For them to reproduce, because I don't know, they make them all negative as opposed to regular stuff, or they don't get pollinated right. But anyway, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, marigolds are the easiest one to actually redo. You get a good marigold and, you know, you wait for it to die down, harvest the seed, dry it out well, and then keep it that way. And then the other thing that a lot of people don't realize on marigold seeds, and this is just for people's thoughts, you got to have them do a deep freeze. So you take your bag of marigold seeds, you put them in the freezer for 2 weeks, then you bring them back out, and then you can start planting them. But all those seeds, just like all kind of seeds, they need to go through a frost before.
Oh, so I need to put mine in the freezer?
You got to put them in the freezer for at least a couple, at least 2 weeks. And that puts them in that state where, you know, they're ready to be planted because it's like they had a winter. And we don't get enough freezing. Well, we had a couple of days of snow. Mm-hmm. That's not long enough for them to do that. Thing. So,
okay, yeah. Well, so I'll toss mine in the freezer, see what happens.
Toss them in the freezer, then bring them back out. You know, that's a 3 week thing. 2 weeks in the freezer, 1 week out, they'll be ready to go. And then then when it's time to plant them and they'll be fine.
Well, they'll be in your yard. So we'll be able to see what kind of seed saving skills I have. Yeah, definitely need to brush up, learn a little on those skills.
Yeah, no worries.
Keeping that real. whatever, I tried.
Okay, you're getting there.
We'll see. Because I can't, on my little garden terrace, all I can have is succulents. Everything else will die. It's too hot. It's like a little oven, which I love, but the plants don't.
The plants don't.
What inspires you within, like, just the process of gardening, or?
Actually, what I want to say just the different colors. You know, I love the different colors. You know, when you got a garden, you got, you know, reds and you got oranges and there's so different many shades of green that when you're actually looking at the garden, if you pay attention, you know, you can see the different shades of green and just be amazed at the different textures and mm-hmm. the different amount of color. And I just like, you know, the fact that you got, you know, different colors that all max together somehow, you know, because we got camping rose and you got hostas and you got ferns and you got, you know, just different colors of green that all mass together. And it's just a joy for you to take a look at and see. So, and I get a kick out of looking at all different colors. So, I mean, yeah. It's a fun thing. I enjoy it and it's relaxing.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Your garden definitely is incredibly colorful. There's a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's, it is quite a big garden space.
Yeah, you know, and you know, and every year we kind of do something different. So, you know, this year it'll be marigolds and hostas and maybe a little bit of different wildflowers. We'll see.
Oh, you got some plans growing over there.
Got some plans growing over there. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Well, we definitely need to go out to and check out maybe what kind of like the fancy hostas that we can find.
Yep.
As people are getting into gardening, is there any advice that you would have for folks?
Just get a great pruning pair of pruning shears. A decent hand, little hand shovel, and some knee pads.
Yeah. One time, this was when I was living in New Orleans, and I had decided that I was going to make my balcony into this little like jungle oasis. And I remember talking to you and asking you for advice, and you like told me all the supplies to get and yada yada yada, and I did, and I remember when we talked, you were like, well, you have to be consistent and pay attention to it. And I think you said that to me like 4 or 5 times. And I was like, yeah, for sure. Bet. Got it. Went on my way, planted all this shit, had this beautiful garden for like 4 days. Everything was like really small. So not like a waste of vibes, but we potted all this stuff up. It looked really great. And then because I am an individual that's always working, I didn't really go back out there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and everything died.
Everything died. And I remember you telling me that it needed to be more consistent and that unless I was consistent, this would be the case. And so I was like, bet, okay, did the whole thing over again, tried to be consistent, failed miserably. And then I was like, I don't have a green thumb. And your response to me was, yeah, well, this is – you have to be patient, you have to be consistent, and you have to commit to it. And EGC is and my kid, Sean Hobbs, is probably the only two things that I've like
committed to.
Otherwise, I'm not super interested. Well, mutual aid, movement work, anti-racism, I'm all very committed to those things. So there are things that I commit to.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was a lesson for me in commitment and that I had to be consistent and show up for these plants. Like, I remember you were telling me I had to talk to them.
Talk to them, you know.
But I think that's like such an important lesson when we're thinking not just about garden spaces and the relationship to that, but also when we're thinking about movement work and when we're thinking about social justice activities or anti-racism or, I mean, we regularly talk about politics and we're not going to get into that today, but as we're trying to move towards liberation, we as a community need to get really consistent and committed and focused. And I think that's like one of the things that gardening, and for me, spending time in the garden, that is a lesson that I've cultivated or pulled out of that work in that space.
Well, good. Good.
Does that resonate with you at all?
Yeah, it does.
Talking outside.
No, it resonates a lot. You know, like I say, all of this kind of works together in different ways. So, you know, a lot of the work you do is great. And, you know, you do have that commitment that that you portray every, you know, the more and more I see you. So I'm glad something rubbed off on you.
Damn. I always be catching strays with this guy. I was 2.5 minutes early to coffee of the day. Got a lecture about being late. I always catch strays. Goodness gracious. Well, I appreciate, though, that, like, that is that we can take lessons from gardening. And also that, like, gardening within the Black community is historical, right? It's something that our community has done for survival, to share, since we got on this continent.
Yeah, you know, and I have to laugh because as a kid coming up, you know, my grandmother gardened, and I'd see her on her knees out in the backyard, and she would get me out there, and I would be like, you know, I don't like digging in this dirt, Grandma. And she's like, nah, you'll get used to it. But she was from Georgia, so, you know, she was used to doing this kind of work. And I guess, you know, in the long run, you know, my ancestor, my grandmother, you know, got me back involved in gardening, and I still love it to this day. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, the ancestors kind of teach you something here. What you grew up doing, you end up doing later in life. So it works out. It really does.
I mean, it's always full circle.
It's always full circle, no matter what you do. I mean, it's, you know. So.
Well, I'm glad that gardening isn't something that I dread.
That's good.
Well, you appreciate it?
Well, like I say, now I remember always, you know, on the sidewalk, you helped me plant, you and Sean, my grandson. And that was that's always been special times.
Yeah.
You know, like I say, I still remember all the times we shared and all the plants we planted. So it's a fun thing.
Yeah. And we're going to keep on keeping with the garden. It's definitely a special space. I'm excited the ways that Apple Giving Circle is going to continue to, like, help. Not just our elders. We're working in 3 gardens this year. Yours in North Portland. We got one in Northeast, and then Miss Anita in Southwest Portland. And I'm excited to continue to, like, learn with y'all and to help in this way and to uplift and honor these living history spaces.
Oh, good.
And also really excited for the ways that we get to learn as a community of how important not just the legacy of gardening and land cultivation is, but our community relationship to it and the ways that we can learn and the things that we can take from it. One of the cool things that we watched last year working in Elder Gardens is the different new friendships that budded from people hanging out. And so that's something this year we're going to do different, is we're going to try to make sure that our volunteers, that you can cross town however you want, but trying to also get the North Portland people in your garden and the Northeast Portland folks in that garden and the Southwest people, just so that then when those folks see each other at the grocery store or out and about, that they now have a new neighbor that they're friendly with.
Yep. And that's a great way of looking at it. It really is.
Yeah. It's really cool the ways that
people get together, you know, not just in the garden, but on social sides of it, by Fred Meyer or different places like that. You see them, you know, at a farmer's market or whatever, you know, so they always have something in common. They can talk to one another. And again, that's part about the sharing part.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that when you, like, did sharing come up for you as something that was important or just, like, naturally happened?
It just naturally happened. I mean, you know, it just naturally happened. I mean, it's just one of those things that comes about because of whatever. You know, you have more than you need. Why not give some of it away?
Yeah. Do you think the garden relationship helps, like, bring that up and makes it easier?
It's great. It's always that way. Because, I mean, once we plant our marigolds, if there's any extra, we give them away. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's someone else besides us benefiting. So yeah. it's fantastic.
That's when we started, we were inspired in 2020 by the underground plant trade, and that's how we got our plant jam started. The underground plant trade is this idea of more resource people sharing plants with folks that are less resource.
Yeah, and I remember donating a couple of plants to you guys, yeah.
Yeah, and when we first did it, the first time we did it, we ended up collecting, and we didn't like the idea of, like, sharing our own personal address in this, like, real loud public way. It was, like, a lot. because it's, you know, just like on Instagram kind of vibe. Even more unsettling than like the ways that we do it, like very hyper local and buy nothing. That's like another little sharing kind of platform or group. But so we collected plants and then we were giving them out. And in that, it was really interesting how people were able to really start to unpack their relationship with sharing through the act of sharing plants, oh, right? Good, like, good. And thinking about when we think about resource sharing, like in a bigger way, or even like reparations, it started to be a really interesting space for conversation around that. So I really am excited to continue to like get in the weeds with the Plant Jam and the Elder Plant Garden Project. And also like get our larger community continuing to talk about sharing, because I know we all would like the uber wealthy to be intentional about sharing, but that's probably not going to happen, not immediately. So it's going to be our collective responsibility to lean into our relationship with sharing and taking care of each other.
Yeah, the ground root side of it. So
yeah, it's yeah. Is there anything else that you want to wisdom you want to part on as dad?
Nope. No. Nope. I mean, you know, I've already given you everything I can. I mean, the only wisdom I can tell you or share with people is be kind. That's about all I can say.
Yeah,
you know, this world is changing right before our eyes. We're all humans. And, you know, for some reason, the main person in charge is not kind. So we need to be kind to one another.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Be kind. Well, on that note, y'all hear it. Y'all hear it. I can't even talk. Y'all heard it first. Be kind. That is the lesson of the day. Be kind. I appreciate you coming and chatting with me, Dad. I'm excited for Garden Season 2 of us supporting and learning with our elders, you included. We will get that kicking off at the end of April.
Yep.
Right after your 68th birthday?
Yep.
What are you doing for your 68th birthday?
I don't know. Probably be in the garden.
All right. Garden party and cake at your house. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Well, thank you so much, Dad. I appreciate you. And that is our episode for today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for listening to The Sharing Culture with Equitable Giving Circle. We appreciate you being on this journey with us. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. If you loved what you heard, please tap in and find us on socials under Equitable Giving Circle or find us at our website, www.equitablegivingcircle.org, to donate, volunteer, or learn more about our programming. We look forward to working with you all to build a stronger and more connected and resourced Portland community. We do a lot of work at Equitable Giving Circle to uplift the Black community of Portland, and we are both proud and honored to do this work. We're also honored that many of our local business community shows up for us. A few of these awesome businesses that we'd like to uplift in no specific order are Hue Noir, which is a Black-owned makeup line based out in Beaverton. They have the best pigmented lipstick on the market. You should absolutely check them out. Dos Hermanas Bakery over in Southeast Portland. They donate beautiful and delicious bread to us every single week for our free market. They also have the best chopped sandwich in town, so check them out. And lastly, Open House Co-working on Northeast MLK. They share space with us regularly. They also have a co-working for Black folks on Fridays, which is free and an awesome space to network and meet new folks. We hope as you lean in and support our work at EGC that you also support many of the local businesses around town that support us and our larger community.